the last Tuesday of every morning, every month, one of the smartest white men of this side of heaven, a gift from God, chosen. Bill Lockwood is here. Bill Lockwood is a blogger and radio host at American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. He's a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ, teacher in Wichita Falls, Texas, and the author of an excellent study guide, Ezekiel, the Watchman of Israel. And Bill Lockwood's website is American Liberty with Bill. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. And we're going to give that out again, folks, and check it out. And believe me, when I say one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven, I am not jiving. You know how black people like to jive. Shuck and jive. I am not jiving. Bill, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jesse Lee. How are you today?
All is well. Happy Men's History Month.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Right on. Bill, go ahead.
I didn't realize it was Men's History Month, but I'm happy to enjoy it.
Yeah, this is our second year. I started last year, Men's History Month, in August, and White History Month in July. So we just celebrated White History Month, second year, and now Men's History Month. It's amazing.
Okay.
I know I want to talk to you about guns and all those good things, but I will ask for you to take a stab at my biblical question.
Okay.
Why do white people help their enemies destroy them?
Sin, S-I-N, sin. People are involved in sin, and they have not recognized what they need to be in Jesus Christ and be bold for the truth. And so when people jettison the truth and they don't adhere to it in their own lives, they don't adhere to it anywhere, then it's easy to fall for lies of Satan everywhere you go. So I think it's just downright sin that we have in our country.
And so for those who don't understand the effect, the negative effects of sin, are you saying that because white people in sin, they don't realize that they're helping they think what they're doing is good, but it's really turning out to destroy them? They don't see that they're destroying themselves?
Well, I would say this, that everyone has sin.
Right.
So it's not just a white people problem, of course, on that. However, the white culture, or I should say the majority culture in America, has been under constant assault for the last 150 years. Ever since the Progressive Era, the white culture, or what they call a white culture, is really the dominant European culture here is what it is. It's not really white culture. It's European culture, which had really roots in Christianity, has been under constant assault. And since that European Christian culture has been under constant assault, then the people who are the majority in America have backed up, and they continue to back up, and they have been sinful in so doing, but they have failed to recognize the Christian roots of our nation. So we have just backed up all the way. That is, the whites, the dominant cult, or the dominant race in America, has backed up.
I noticed that even when the enemies attack white people. For example, there's a woman in Michigan, and she said that she didn't want foreigners, you know, all these foreigners coming into that area there, where whatever area she lived. We're going to get to that later this morning. And in my opinion, she was right about that. It made sense because when the foreigners come in, they hate white people. They bring their culture in, and they take away the white culture or American culture and bring their own. They run Kramer, and they run the white people out. So if you know that's going to happen, what is wrong with saying, well, no, I want to keep it the way it is?
Well, yeah, excuse me. I've got a lot of a cold and a drainage going on here. But you know what? The answer to that, Jesse, in my view is this, that we have had a Christian culture here. That's how our country was founded.
Yeah.
And it was a Christian culture because it was colonized from Europe by those who were Christians in their orientation in the past. it so happened that that was a dominant white race. Even though that is not that really was a side issue, but that is just the way it was so happened. When we came to the 1960s, however, it was Ted Kennedy, almost himself solely, took in hand to change our entire immigration system, and he pushed through the idea that we have, because prior to the 1960s, for example, we were allowing people to come in only from those countries that were European primarily, not because we wanted white people, but because we wanted people who had a constitutional background, or people who wanted, had some affinity for the constitutional principles that we have and we've enjoyed in our nation. But Ted Kennedy didn't like that. He didn't like the Constitution. He hated the Constitution. He sided with our enemies everywhere around the globe. Consequently, he took into his own hands to change, single-handedly practically, the entire immigration system in the 1960s. And he said, and he made it say, well, it's a racial issue. The reason we're taking in Europeans primarily and not the other country, from other countries such as the Mexican countries or the Latino countries and African nation, or different nations in Africa. The reason we're not doing that, he said, is because we're racist. Well, that had nothing to do with it. Yeah. The reason we had dominant European people migrating to the United States, and that's all that we allowed, was because we wanted people that had affinity to constitutional principles, and those were more in line with what we believe as far as our principles are concerned. Ted Kennedy, as I said, hated that, so he changed it up, and he promised. He said, well, this will not bring a flood of people coming from the continent of Africa or from South America or Mexico. It will not do that. Of course, it was all a bold-faced lie. He knew it would, and it did, and that's exactly what's happened. So we have just we bought into this, and it's not simply a white people problem. It's a problem that people don't recognize the constitutional principles on which we were founded, and they have striven for a long time to undermine it, and that's exactly what's occurring. So what do we have in our nation now? Well, we're looking more like Bosnia, yeah, all the time, and that's exactly what he wanted. That's exactly what Ted Kennedy wanted, but he promised the opposite.
Was he white? Was Ted Kennedy white?
Yeah, he was white, yeah.
So why did he want that?
He was a socialist.
Oh, I see.
These socialists hate America. They hate the founding principles of America. They hate the freedom that we have enjoyed. And they have been striving for over 150 years, really ever since the founding of our nation, to take the government toward the top and have top-down control and put in socialistic ideals. And so we've had socialism taking over since the progressive era. We call it progressivism, but really it's socialism,
yeah,
since about the year 1875 and 1880. And that's what's happened to us.
In Africa, mommy Africa, white people are being genocide by
right.
The blacks there, because black control the government and all that. So it's known fact that whites are being robbed, raped, murdered, even in front of each other, in their homes and things like that. Their lands are being taken away from them without compensation. Why is it that the white countries are not helping the white people, either getting them out of there or sending in some type of military force or something to help the whites?
The same thing that happened, for example, in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela had actually been imprisoned because of communist activity. Nelson Mandela was a communist, and he absolutely practiced what was called necklacing at the time. And you know about necklacing,
yes,
where they soak those tires in gasoline, hang them on people's necks, and they burn them alive. Nelson Mandela was involved in that. He was put in prison, but it was a white-dominant government in South Africa. Consequently, what happened? Well, we've had the liberals, the socialists in America, the Democrat Party, and the news media cycle put so much pressure on South Africa to change it up, saying that it's all racist because the whites own the government, and the blacks do not own anything, and so forth. So they put so much pressure on them to change it up. We even put embargoes on South Africa. We have the news cycle continue to talk about how terrible it was with a white dominant government in South Africa. And matter of fact, we didn't even want to buy the Krugerrand, the gold pieces that they had. So we put so much economic pressure on them to change it up. So what happened? We've turned it over, helped turn it over to Marxists such as the Nelson Mandelas of the world, and that's what's controlling it. So we've had Marxists in charge of our government for a long time who want to, every country we touch, what happens to it? It goes Marxist. I mean, almost every country, I mean, except perhaps South Korea. But, you know, we absolutely did not go in there to North Korea and stop the Chinese government from putting communism in its place. And so we helped that along. What happened with Iran? Same thing. We helped turn Iran right over to the mullahs. And they were aligned with the communists. And so every country we touch, you know, as Franklin Roosevelt said, in politics, nothing happens by accident. These are not happening because by accident, because, well, this is just the way things happen to turn out. No. We need to look at the results of what we have had with our foreign policies and see that's exactly what's happened. So that's explanatory about what's going on to your question regarding Africa. In Africa, that's what's happening.
I noticed that white people are the most hated species on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And there is a great attempt to destroy the white man. And so that once they destroy him, they can easily take over the women and children and turn it into a communist socialist society. And a lot of white men are angry that they are under attack and they don't know how to defend themselves. What would you say to the white males in the best way to defend themselves and stop what's happening?
You mean over in Africa?
Or? Over there, over here in England, Europe, wherever.
Well, you know what? We should have been, for one thing, we should have, a long time ago, put the brakes on a socialistic society,
right.
The welfare society that we have, because now what's happening? We are bleeding at every pore financially, and we're turning money over to every single different group, which is all unconstitutional. And we should have, a long time ago, put the brakes on all of this kind of stuff. But at this particular point, the only thing that we can do right now is to know the issues, learn the issues, and then we can also stand up for the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment is now under assault. You know, every single Democratic candidate is desirous of getting rid of federal laws that protect gun manufacturers and gun dealers from lawsuits by people who are victims of gun violence. They want the gun manufacturers, that is the Democratic candidates and the Democratic Party, they want the gun manufacturers out of business. They want them to shut down business, and all gun dealers shut down business. They want to take away your firearms. That is the pressing need right now. And I think that people better pay attention. And so whether it be white or black or Hispanic, whatever, people better pay attention. We're not going to have the ability to defend ourselves if we support the Democratic Party.
You know, the reality is most people of color, whether it's blacks or Mexican or Asian, Japanese, whatever, Filipinos, they have a socialist mentality. They believe in socialism and communism. And so they seem to be okay with what's happening. It's only the whites, and not all whites, but some whites are socialists too right now. But it's only the whites who are going to stop this stuff from happening if it should end. But most people are socialists of color, and the whites seem defenseless or helpless in this situation. And except for a miracle from God, I just don't see how it's going to end without the white man standing up in the right way.
Well, I think you're right about that, Jesse, and people like you as well. I mean, people have to stand up here against the socialistic onslaught. And that's exactly, the Democratic Party is basically the Democrat Socialist of America. And they're going to take us all the way down. Socialism ends only in communism.
Right.
The only difference between communism and socialism is the barrel of a gun from the government. But the last thing that socialists want to do, where they, for example, if you look over it in Nazi Germany, which was a socialist nation, people think, well, the Nazis are the far right. No, they're a socialist. It's the National Socialist Party. The last thing that Hitler was able to do before he absolutely put everybody under his iron fist was to remove the right to keep and bear arms of the populace of the Germans. That was about the last law that disappeared. And same thing with Mao Zedong in China. I mean, they took away firearms. They don't want people to be able to defend themselves against the government. The history of the entire world is littered with government removing the freedoms of the people that live in that government. We are never captured by other nations. That is, in all the history of the world, the very, very seldom is one nation capturing another nation. What normally happens is that they lose their freedoms by an all-powerful government that removes their right to defend themselves and removes their right to have free enterprise and freedom and liberty in a society. And that's what's happening right now.
I'm surprised that there's one person, and especially a man, rather Democrat, liberal, conservative, what, will listen to the Democratic Party, those who are running for president right now, because those people are liars. They're, deceivers, they're socialists. They will say anything to get a vote because of the desire for power. Well, they want open borders. I don't know why anyone would listen to them and go along with this idea of banning the Second Amendment, taking away our guns. I just don't know what happened to people that they don't know that they should be responsible for themselves and not let some idiot people run around and tell them when and where and why they should not carry a gun. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we have in our society for a long time, we have removed the fathers from the home by the welfare system, number one.
Yeah.
So we have children that are out of control and have no controls, internal controls, and they have no religious values. They have no values regarding God, because a child learns to respect God in the home by respecting his father.
Yes.
We have none of that going on in the home. So we have that going on in society on one end. Then on the other end, this is like the pincer strategy of the communists, the Gramscian strategy. And on the other end, we have the same socialists, the welfare class of people who want open borders. What is that? We're flooding in people who are illegal. And what is taking place? The crime is rising to an alarming degree. Then we have the misteaching on Islam, and everybody's acting like, well, the popular teaching is that it's a peaceful religion. No, Muhammad killed everybody that he came in contact with, practically. I mean, when Muhammad died, the entire peninsula of Arabia was 100% Muslim. That doesn't come about because of freedom. That's exactly what Islam does to a society. So when Obama was in office, he flooded us with more Muslim migrants. Yeah. So we have open borders. We have that going on, then we have the destruction of the home. So what's happening? Violence is escalating in society, and what do the Democrats want to say? Well, the problem is gun manufacturers. So now we're refusing to recognize the responsibility lies in the heart of man and the sinful practice that men are doing.
Yeah.
It's not about the guns. It's about sin, and it's about ugliness in society, and people should be responsible for their behavior, but they don't want to hold people responsible. They want to hold the gun manufacturer responsible.
Yep. Who is the most hated, white Christians or Jews?
I think Christians have been always the most hated. I believe Christianity has always been the most hated. I think that's the case. I mean, I don't doubt that Jews have been hated, and of course everybody immediately thinks of Nazi Germany. But if you look back throughout history, Christianity has been hated.
Yeah.
Christians were persecuted. Matter of fact, Jews persecuted Christians in the first century, and in the second century, Christians were persecuted. So, it's been that way throughout the Roman Empire. It's been that way through the Middle Ages. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church persecuted so many Christians who wanted simply to read the Bible for themselves. And it's sad, really. But nevertheless, I believe that's the case.
Why have the Christians always been the most hated?
Well, Jesus predicted that would be the case. He says, they've hated me, they will hate you also. And you know what Jesus said in John chapter 6? you know, just following the passage about God so loved the world and so forth, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he tells us right after that, he says, God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved. Then he tells us that there is light gone into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Everyone that does evil hates the light, comes not to the light, because his works might be exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a light gone into the world, but men hate the light because of darkness of their own deeds, and Christianity therefore is hated. You know what's going on in the religious world today, Jesse? For example, the mainline denominations that call themselves Christian, what do they actually teach? What do they actually preach? Well, they're teaching that homosexuality is something with which a person is born, and that, and then they're even putting homosexuals in the pulpits. They're teaching the same thing regarding the role of women, that the woman's role should be exactly the same as a man's in the church.
Yeah.
They're not teaching anything against sin. They're not teaching anything against socialism. They're not teaching anything against anything. They don't want to stand up for anything. Just go out and be good. And that's all their message is.
I know. So,
they've capitulated.
Yeah. Jesus was a Jew, right?
Well, that's correct.
And so if Jesus was a Jew, why is he hated for Christianity?
Well, you know what? I read an interesting manuscript several years ago by Benjamin Friedman, who was a Jewish rabbi. He said Jesus was not a Jew. And his point was not a Jew in the sense that we think of Jews today. He says the bloodline Jews, of which Jesus was a part, the Old Testament, has long since been gone. And those who claim to be Jews today are not Jews in the bloodline sense. They go back to the Ashkenaz Jews of the Middle Kingdom, which is really Phariseeism. And those were people that were converts by the Pharisaical rabbis coming out of Jamnia. So his point simply is they're not, the Jews today are not traceable back to the Jews, bloodline Jews of Jesus' day. That's a different Jew today. In other words, Judaism today that you see is not the Judaism of the Old Testament. And that's his point. But at any rate, I just threw that in. That's for extra measure. So we'll probably get some calls on that one. But anyway.
Very interesting. One other thing I want to ask you about. Notice that, yes, white males are under attack because they're the ones who are keeping America together as much as they can and the family as much as possible. If they get rid of the white males, then socialism will come to pass and will come in. Why, instead of white males getting mad and going out and committing so-called mass shooting and things like that, why aren't they fighting the way a man would fight? Run for office, city council, school board, you know, governor, mayor, so that they can keep those folks out and keep the country the way it should be. Because they're very smart guys. It's not like they're dummies. Why are they running for office and fighting in the way that a man should fight rather than going in a corner and murmuring and complaining and acting like little ladies?
You know what? That's a great question. And I think the answer to it, you can just look at Donald Trump. Look at what that man has taken. If anybody supposes that Donald Trump has not taken more flack and more ugliness and more hatred than any other president or public figure, then I don't know where you're thinking. He has taken more hatred, more flack, more negative coverage than any other president ever. Whether it be in the entertainment industry, whether it be in the music industry, whether it be other politicians, whether it be the news cycle, it doesn't matter. At the schools, at the colleges, the universities, they absolutely despise the man, and he takes that on a constant basis.
And he doesn't care if you're a man or a woman, right, mama or daddy or whatever. When you're wrong, he's going to deal with you. When you're right, he's okay with you.
So the answer to your question is, people say, you know what, I don't think I want my name dragged through the ugliness, the mire, and the muck that he's had. I mean, just think what his family has had to take. It's very, very sad. And I think a lot of people think, you know what? I'm conservative, but look what's happening. Our culture has turned so nasty, so ugly, and it's directed primarily at conservative individuals.
But Jesus said because you stand for right, you're going to have to go through these things. So I don't care about the name calling and all that. They don't have power on their side. God is in us, right? Those who believe. And so they, those people on the left, children of the light, they only have name calling and intimidation, and which is a house that's built on sand. It won't stand. But the men and women who believe in God, have faith in Him, and live that way, they can do what the president is doing, overcome all that, yet stand for what is right. Why don't they do that? I'm just not. And they're sitting around complaining. And there are some young white males who at one point supported the president. And because he doesn't hate the Jews, now they're mad at the president for not hating the Jews, right? Oh, he support Israel or whatever. And I'm thinking, President Trump is, as you just said, enduring more in a public way, enduring more than anyone else we have ever seen in America. And he's an example that you have to endure and you can still overcome it. So if the man is supporting Israel, that's not a reason to not run for office, stand up for America, and support the president. We're not going to agree on everything. But these young white males are literally acting like young girls. They're not seeing it the way a man should see it.
Well, I think you're right. I think it goes back once again to the home.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a terrible problem in the homes. And when we do have a home that the father is there, very infrequently is that father and that mother, are they actually teaching their children what they're going to face?
Yeah.
The principles of the Bible, the principles of our Constitution, which are pretty close to the same. They're not being taught that. Consequently, Jesse, when they get into grade school and they get into junior high and high school and then finally to college, they're facing more advanced forms of atheism than you and I have ever had in our lives. And they're facing that right in high school. They're facing that in colleges.
Right.
So they're breaking down. They're not able to stand up because they're not being taught in the home. The home is, I think, the key to it.
It is.
We're absolutely emboldening our sons to be men and to learn the issues of the day. And we need to.
I agree to that, Bill. We definitely need to. How do you think, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to all end. What do you think going to happen? Will it turn around? Is it something that's going around? Or will it end in destruction where the Christians will be hiding behind rocks?
Well, this is my opinion. And I do pray daily that we might have freedoms long enough to enjoy for myself and my children, my grandchildren, and so forth. But I am fearful because I do recognize that God does not hold us guiltless, that has endorsed, for example, the homosexual culture in America, the LGBT community. And that is something that is endorsed publicly by Congress, by the major media, by the news cycles, and it just the churches now are endorsing
it.
Well.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
God is not going to hold us guiltless. We're going to be guilty, and look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. I think God's going to allow us simply to spiral out of control unless we can turn things around with the Donald Trump or someone like that. But, you know, he hasn't touched that issue. He hasn't come out on that issue. And what would happen if he did? Well, we'd have some war going on. You know, Obama changed us forever. And he changed us for the worse towards Sodom and Gomorrah very quickly.
And so what will God do with the two of us, you and me? We're trying to stand up and do the right thing. Is he going to keep us? He going to protect us from them?
I don't know. You know, Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. And then he finally was captured and taken to Egypt. You know, the Old Testament Jeremiah. It is believed that Isaiah was sawn in half. The prophets of God throughout the Old Testament were all persecuted. And matter of fact, Jesus even said it that way. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute and kill? And he said to the Jews of that generation, he says, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, you are guilty of this blood, and God's not going to hold you guiltless for that. So all of the prophets, the Jews persecuted and killed. So exactly it is. I'm not saying that you and I are prophets, but the point simply is when you stand up for truth, then there's going to be negative consequences to it. And I hope that I'm strong enough to be able to endure it if it does come. And
I hope
that it does. So
one last thing, Bill. I was up in Modesto, California this past Saturday. I was participating and spoke at the first straight pride parade. And we held a rally in front of Planned Parenthood up there and gave a couple of talks that morning. But the children of Satan showed up, the Antifa and the fat lesbians, they showed up and they came on our side of the road. They were trying to intimidate us. And they were saying some of the nasty, horrible things. And they were chanting, no ICE, no America. They totally hate America. But they absolutely hate straight people. They hate men and women of God. It was so much fun dealing with those people. I felt like I was sitting in an ice cream shop in dealing with evil.
You know what, Jesse? What you've just said touches a point that is so ignored in our culture. And that is the homosexual community, the homosexual network. They're not kind and they're not laid back and just easygoing. They absolutely are very aggressive and very aggressive with their agenda and very ugly in their pressures. I remember several years ago, my brother, who's a pilot, flew into, I think it was a city on the East Coast, and they were having a this was like 20 years ago, and they were having a homosexual pride parade in the city, and they were carrying signs that are saying, bring on the lions, bring on the lions. They're talking about Christian people. That there's a hatred for Christianity in that community.
Yeah.
But the news networks and the news media, the mainstream media, has so covered for them and made it as if they're just a peaceable group of people that the Americans have been hoodwinked. And that is not the case. And you found that out, of course, and you knew that anyway. But,
but I could think of many words to call those people. Peaceful is not one of those words.
That's right.
And you know what I realized, too, is that they had a whole bunch of fat lesbians there. And I noticed that the lesbian, you know how normal women, they can be kind of deceiving. They'll destroy your children. They'll abort your babies and all that, right? Well, I realized that the lesbians, not all, but especially radical lesbians, they are angels of Satan. They are like below the normal women, you know, the regular women. And right below them are the lesbians are the angels of Satan. They are so mean and nasty, and they literally hate men to the core. They hate men. And they're like the angels that fly out of heaven to destroy men. I mean, fly out of hell to destroy men for Satan.
They even have some of those kind of people invited into public schools in California to kindergarten, first and second grade, and having queer story hour. And those people dressed in drag will go in there and read to the children. And that's a state practice now in California.
Yeah. Why do the parents allow that to happen, though? Why don't the parents take their children out and not sacrifice their children as lamb of sacrifice to Satan?
I guess it's just, once again, weakness on the part of humans thinking that, well, maybe, you know, we're just being boiled to death as frogs in water. We put up with one thing, and then another, and soon enough, we're in a place where we would never have guessed we would be 10 years ago, but we're still putting up with it.
Yeah. I noticed that the media in Modesto pretended that those radical lesbians and homosexuals and Antifa, they said that those people were peaceful. But they really didn't tell the truth because they didn't expose all the language and the in-your-face and the nasty stuff that they were saying about ICE and about America. And they didn't show all that coming from the people of Satan. They didn't show that.
They've covered for them for years, Jesse. This has been going on for a long time, and the mainstream media refuses to cover it honestly and openly. They always paint the conservative as some ugly person or as someone who has some axe to grind. And so anybody, for example, who might be even painted as being on the right, who commits some act of violence somewhere, such as a shooting, boy, everybody in the country, they're all over that. All the news cycles are all over it. But as far as Muslims who are doing that, boy, they just downplay that. Or the homosexual network that absolutely is very violent in this and pushing their agenda and forcing it right down your throat in the public schools. No, they don't cover that. They don't talk about that.
They also don't. These people were threatened. I mean, they attacked. I saw where men, white men, were attacked, physically attacked. They didn't really make a big deal out of it either. I know. And the last thing, Bill, I got to run. I'm looking at the clock. The last thing is, black people are committing mass shootings. There was an incident last week in Philadelphia or New Jersey. Some black guy shot six police officers, according to the story. He was in some home or something. They were trying to get him out, and he shot six officers. That's a mass shooting,
but it
wasn't called a mass shooting because a black person did it. Had it been a white young male who did the same thing, it would have been called a mass shooting.
Right. That's been going on for a long time, that covering and trying to push a news cycle in one particular direction. Same thing happened with down at Fort Hood here in Texas when Major Hassan, because of his Islamic belief, shot up a bunch of people at Fort Hood. But, you know, when Obama was president, they never recognized anything about Islam, the doctrine of Islam, or anything. They just refused to mention it.
Yeah.
And they're not even, went a long way around to cover that was not even a part of it. It was simply some other act. It was, it had nothing to do with any kind of belief system that he had. That's exactly how they paint it.
Amazing. Amazing, Bill. I could go on and on with you.
Yeah, I could too.
Tell the folks how to listen to your excellent broadcast. Your radio show is amazing. And then they'll be able to call in. Oh, well, they can't call in, but they can listen to where you're talking about. So how can people listen to your show, your church, read your blogs, and all that good stuff?
Well, I'll start with the church. You know, the church is Iowa Park Church of Christ. So we have a website there. It's called iowaparkcoc.org. And that website, I have articles on there. And I have, of course, all my sermons are on there. They're uploaded. I have a personal one, which is AmericanLibertyWithBillLockwood.com. And that is a website. It has articles on there, guest writers and myself writing. I have a radio show also that is called exactly the same. And that is out of Wichita Falls, Texas, on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on News Talk 1290 a.m. dial. And then it's also in Lubbock and in Abilene on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock p.m. And that's at 790 a.m. on the dial in Lubbock and then 1440 a.m. in Abilene. So that's the radio show, which is once a week, and it's an hour-long show. And I have a good time with it, but it's keeps them busy, as you can imagine.
Yes, absolutely. I want to tell you in closing that when I was up in Modesto last Saturday, I sense a sense of I'm blessed that I am a part of this spiritual warfare that's happening. And because I just think that for God to even consider me, to allow me to be a part of it, is mind-blowing. And I can clearly see that it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And if you can see that it's spiritual, you will see how to deal with it in the physical as well. But to see that it's spiritual is mind-blowing to me. And I feel I don't even understand why God is doing it through me like that. But I am totally grateful to be alive and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring or the next moment, but to be alive and to be a part of this spiritual battle, I can't think of anything else that's better than this.
Well, that's a great comment, really. I mean, I think about what Paul had to say in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And that sums it up. It's a spiritual battle. He said the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that he tells that there that our goal is to overturn the ideas and the concepts of men. It's not a physical battle at all.
Yeah.
It goes to the ideas and concepts that people believe, and that's what the battle is about.
I also noticed that the things that he allows me to see that I could never see with my physical eyes, or I can never make myself see. And to me, I'm thinking, wow, that's so interesting that he allows me to see things in the spirit, you know, in dealing with all this stuff, that when I was in a fallen state before I was born again, I would never see, and it's impossible to see unless he allows you to see it. And I know that that's why a lot of people are not really involved in this battle in the right way or not involved at all, because they really can't see the depths of really what's really going on.
That's an excellent point, really, that people have not been born again and they're not faithful Christians, and therefore they don't see the spiritual warfare that is behind the scenes.
Yes.
That way. That's right. That's a good point.
Amazing. Bill, thank you for coming on, man. I love talking to you.
I enjoy you so much, Jesse Lee. Appreciate you and love you and appreciate your show and your stand for truth.
You're one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you for saying that, though.
Thank you, Bill. Say hi to the family for me.
I certainly will. Thank you, Jesse Lee.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Amazing. Amazing.